You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
NFL Total Access is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
It's Tuesday, November 22nd, and you are listening to NFL Total Access.
The podcast.
Those are the voices of today's special guests. Voice number one belongs to the pride of the Rams. The Fordham Rams. He is the co-host of NFL Total Access.
Rams,
the co-host of the NFL Explained podcast. And considering the regularity with which he appears on this show, he should probably get co-host credit here too. But let's be clear, he's not going to. And that's okay with him because his personal motto is attitude is everything. And his attitude is among the best I've ever seen. He's the sweet potato kid. He's Mike Yam. Welcome back, my friend.
I'm ready to roll. That was a good intro. I'll take
that. Strong.
That was really good.
Voice number two belongs to the pride of the Patriots. The Parkway South High School Patriots in St. Louis, Missouri, or Missouri, as they say, for whatever reason. He is the chief national reporter of the NFL Network and the proud grandfather of Jariah, who was born only yesterday. Congratulations, Grandpa, and welcome back to the pod.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. I mean, I'm on a whole different plane right now.
Any specifics you would like to give us? Jariah is?
Jariah, 8 pounds, 3 ounces.
Lovely.
Our first grandson, and it was from our youngest son, Jeremy, and his girl, Ilza. So salute to them. They're both champs.
Absolutely. And he shares a birthday with my only brother, John Fitzgerald Levy, November 21st, 1960. In his case, a special company. John Special. Jariah is going to be special too.
I feel it.
Scorpios. Scorpios. Oh, yeah. Unite. On today's show, we will make predictions for all three Thanksgiving Day games. Did you know that,
Steve? I did not know.
All right, you better scramble. Get ready. That's the Bills and Lions. That's the Giants and Cowboys. That's the Patriots and Vikings. Who wins and how? Don't need a score. I want to know how it happens. Plus, why there are only three teams in the NFC playoff picture of any real relevance and no one else is even close. But first, this.
Flip to Debo, coming back the other way, left, led by Croft and Trent Williams and Ayuk. Breaks a tackle, 20, 10, 5. Debo Samuel all the way into the end zone for a touchdown. Anote to Tassion, San Francisco.
Debo Samuel, wow.
La Ciudad de Mexico in Estadio Azteca. Final score, San Francisco 49ers 38, Arizona Cardinals 10. The Niners dialed up 7 different ball carriers, only 4 different receivers. The 7 different rushers of the football, that's tied for 3rd most from a team this season. That number struck me as special. Turns out it kind of is. George Kittle, 4 catches, 2 touchdowns. Brandon Ayuk, 2 catches, 2 touchdowns. Jimmy G, 20 for 29, 228 yards, 4 touchdowns. Guys, first blush, when you saw the result, when you saw the game in the rain in Mexico City, 49ers are starting to look to me like the team we thought they would be. What's your takeaway?
Well, it looks like last year. Remember, last year they started 3-5, then they went 3 straight to get to 6-5, and then we saw the physicality, right? Everyone started coming back healthy. They started to really pound teams. Eli Mitchell was the grinder last year, but, you know, they had Raheem Mostert. They had some other guys. This year's team, to me, looks more dangerous, right? Because of McCaffrey, the versatility he brings out of the backfield. You just talked about the seven guys carrying the ball, right? Last year, they really relied on Deebo Samuel a lot to carry the ball. Now they've got diversity in the offense. And then look, defensively, seeing guys like Tano Hufanga really emerge as a standout. Fred Warner's playing lights out. Dre Greenlaw's one of my favorite players. And, Mike, they're doing this all without Arik Armstead up front. So when he comes back, if he comes back, they could be even better down the stretch.
You know, the ebbs and flows of this season is real. And I'm glad you brought up last year, because there's a lot of mirror images here. We were ready to hit the panic button on this team because of health, right? They come out of the gates. You know, both of us actually had an opportunity to see them in August. I at least left there, I'm sure you did too, feeling like this defense could be historically good. And it was on that path. And all of a sudden, it's the walking wounded. Now they're starting to get healthy. And I think, Andrew, to your point on running the football, you know, this team runs for like $160, $159, whatever the final number was. It's the most that we've seen in recent weeks, probably the second most that they've had all season. So to me, there's a lot of positives here. We always talk about the creativity of Kyle Shanahan. I think all that stuff is on display now.
Here's the other thing. They beat the Cardinals into submission. You don't see that often in the NFL. We saw the Niners do that four or five times last year. I don't think they're done.
The one thing that I thought I saw, tell me if you think I'm wrong, from the Arizona Cardinals team is something you do not often see from any team in the NFL, and that was a version of quit.
Yeah.
They gave up on that game earlier than I would have ever expected an NFL team to do. Did you see that, or am I overstating
it? No, you saw it. But the Niners do this to teams.
Yes.
Right? Okay. It's the old seasoning approach, right? You get that chicken breast, you debone it, and then you hammer the hell out of it, you season it, and then you cook it. See, these are not nice things to be said about you as an opponent. To be seasoned, beaten the hell out of, and then cooked.
Well, the first thing you said was to be deboned.
Deboned.
I mean, that for starters.
But that's what happened.
I mean, yeah, I've lost my will to live right there.
They physically beat him. I mean, look at all the big plays. The Deebo Samuel touchdown. You saw offensive linemen downfield looking for guys in red jerseys to absolutely dehumanize. Yeah. And you saw that over and over.
Wide open is George Kittle down the left sideline. Kittle will break a tackle. Take it all the way to the end zone. Touchdown! San Francisco! How did George Kittle score there?
Let's talk about the second Kittle touchdown, because you saw something that you did not like in this moment, Steve Wyche. Fourth quarter, you called it a business decision. And I guess my question to you is, the Arizona Cardinals realized that the same cameras we use in the United States work just as well, A, in Mexico, and B, in the rain. They do know that, right? Talk me through the play, why you didn't like it.
Well, wait till Vance Joseph gets him in a meeting. Like, I know Vance, he's not a big screamer, but he needs to be absolutely questioning some guys if they want to play the sport. Look, we saw George Kittle was the end of the game. Again, this was after the Niners had deboned and seasoned and really kind of cooked the
Cardinals.
Taking the soul out of these guys, right? So Jimmy throws a quick out pass to Kittle on the left. He runs downfield untouched, even though there were four guys in his way and there was only one downfield blocker. Two or three guys had shots on him. And yeah, George Kittle's a monster. But when you basically ole him into the end zone, just go ahead on in, you know, it was embarrassing when you have opportunities to take guys out. And I don't care how bad you're getting beat or how bad of a team you may be on or what point of the season it is. If you do not love the game enough to respect the integrity of what you're doing, then you do not need to be playing this football game unless you're out there hurt and you say, Coach, I couldn't because I got a separated shoulder or whatever. But you see a lot of guys make effort regardless of their situation because they interpret and understand how much this game means to them.
Yeah. Mike, Steve just said it. This is what the San Francisco 49ers do to teams. They rob you of your energy, and then they rob you of your fight. There are a few words and phrases that we routinely use in association with this year's 49ers, Mike Yam. Best roster in the NFL, you hear that said a lot. Scariest team in the NFC. We call them versatile. We call them multifaceted. We widen our eyes and exhale thoughtfully and say, just wait till the playoffs. And we recognize how good this team is on both sides of the ball. But the word that I want to discuss, to Steve's point about what this team does to opponents, is the word physical. These guys play a good old-fashioned brand of bully ball. How significant, how important is that?
It's huge because, I mean, think about this. Mooch was probably on the pod yesterday with
you. He was.
So Mooch has been saying this for weeks now, that this team is insanely dangerous, using some of those trigger words that you threw out there. David Carr yesterday on Total Access, we asked him to rank the teams. If OBJ decides on Dallas, where does that put them in? Guess what? Still behind the 49ers. He still had them as their number one team. There was one moment yesterday, Fred Warner gets into the backfield, and I go, dude, that guy is fast. He is physical and sort of epitomizes some of the things that you're describing to me. And not to make this like a health issue, but I think if there's one team in the NFL the last few years where you get concerned about this team staying healthy, it's been this Niners team. And on the flip side, for as much as we want to say it's on the defensive side, what did you say to me before we came down here about Mitchell? Like, dudes just don't want to tackle.
Eli Mitchell, I mean, right? What a finisher.
Yeah.
He's somebody, you got McCaffrey kind of getting you gassed in the first half, and then he just comes in and just absolutely turns you into human confetti.
Yeah. It's on both sides of the football, yep. Andrew.
How important is it come December, come January, to play this brand of football? Because I almost find it interesting. I listen to you guys in meetings. I listen to Willie McGinnis in meetings talk about how physical certain teams are. Teams like the Titans. His boy Vrabel has that Titans team on the AFC side of things playing what we consider to be a playoff brand of football. Ravens are sneakily physical, and nobody's talking about them, and maybe they should be. But on this NFC side that we're talking about right now, you talk about the physicality of teams like the Niners, and yet you would think, this is NFL. This is football. This is NFL football. Everybody plays physical football. That's not true. It's actually not true. Not the likes of which we are talking about. Steve, how important is it for a team to play this brand of football come playoff?
Well, I mean, it's huge, especially if you're playing outside, right? Bad weather, where you can pound it, or you can just line up and stop teams. But let's go back to the Niners last year, right? They went down to Dallas in the playoffs. Everyone thought the Cowboys were the better team, but the Niners were hot, right? Bosa, you weren't getting past Bosa and Armstead and Warner and Dre Greenlaw and all those guys. So Dallas couldn't move the ball. Right. So when I look at the real legitimate playoff teams in the NFC, Philadelphia, a very physical offensive and defensive line, right? They can stack it up with the Niners. Right. You look at Minnesota, are they physical enough to really do it? I don't know. But then you say the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, yeah, they could stack it up. Okay, their defensive line can stack it up with some teams. But then you look at some teams like, now let's go over to the AFC. You mentioned the Ravens. Right, that's a team that can stack it up. You look at some of these teams. Miami can play physical. They may be a finesse-looking football team.
Yes,
they can line up and play. New England can line up and play. It is very important to be able to establish yourself. It sounds cliche, but you stop the run, and you run the ball. And when it gets down to the money plays, it takes two or three big plays to win the playoff ball game. But everything else, fundamentally, that's the key to get to the playoffs.
Your description, and thank you for building on the kind of premise that I'm throwing out there. When I said that there are only three teams in the NFC worth talking about in the intro, you raised your eyebrows. Now, let's talk about that now. You may disagree with what I'm saying, but here's the premise. That there are two other teams in addition to the San Francisco 49ers in the NFC that can legitimately be described as physical football teams. Now, some may say the Bucs are among them. I say they are not.
Not the 2022
Bucs. Both of the teams that I'm talking about, of course, hail from the NFC East. And what do physical teams do well on offense? They run the ball. They control the trenches. Let's take a closer look. The Philadelphia Eagles are sixth in rushing in the NFL. Not the NFC, in the NFL. They are first in rushing touchdowns. The Dallas Cowboys are eighth in rushing in the NFL, and they are third in rushing touchdowns. On the defensive side of things, the Cowboys are the number one team in the NFL when it comes to defense with regards to yards allowed. The Eagles are second. The 49ers are seventh. In terms of rushing defense, 49ers are first in the NFL. Cowboys are third in the NFL in terms of points against on the ground. Scoring defense, Dallas 1, San Francisco 4, Philadelphia 7. Turnover differential, Philadelphia first.
Yep.
Dallas third. Sacks, Cowboys first in the NFL. Eagles third, 49ers are eighth. Eagles, incidentally, are tied for first in the NFL with 13 picks. These are numbers that suggest that these are teams that will beat you up. Am I overstating it to say that Philadelphia Eagles, Dallas Cowboys, and San Francisco 49ers may be the only three teams with a legitimate shot at coming out of the NFC when it's all said and done? Steve Weich.
I would say right now it looks that way. I mean, I think, you know, I'm not going to completely discredit Minnesota, even though their defense gives up a lot of points. But I'm not going to discredit them. We'll see what Seattle. I think there's still a question mark. But those are the three teams that have anchor identities. We know what they are. We know who they are. We know how they play. You just hit them. That's every important defensive metric that matters. Takeaways, especially, and turnover differential. You don't turn the ball over. You get the ball back, get extra possessions. You deny scores. Those are the things that really matter. And, again, that's where the physicality comes in. You know, and you think about, again, the Niners could be getting back Eric Armstead and Samson Ebukam up front. You know, there's some other guys that they have waiting in the wings, just like last year. And the way they play is just so frighteningly scary because they've got no finesse to them.
Yeah.
Right? You can say McCaffrey and some of the stuff they do. Like, the Eagles have a little finesse to them. That's why they're so super dangerous. They can play any way you want to play. Dallas has got some finesse to them, right? But, you know, they're a little more inconsistent, you know. But I think those are the three teams, whereas the AFC might have six or seven.
Well, they may, and we'll talk about those teams another day. Mike Yam, keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer. As a Giants fan, you have a perspective on the Eagles and the Cowboys. We've talked about the 49ers. How dangerous do they seem to you? Am I overstating it? Is there another team in the NFC that's going to be going, Levy, hey, you're disrespecting us by leaving us off this list?
No, I look, Steve mentioned the Bucs, and I think that there's a real conversation there because of the Brady factor alone. There, obviously, that team getting healthier. Up front, though, there are some concerns. I'm actually thinking back to what you guys were describing, a conversation Thursday night. I was working with MJD and Michael Robinson, and you know, we were talking about the Titans, and I think all the things that you guys are describing is Tennessee. And I said, well, guys, like playoff football, like these are, I take their roster, pretty good defensive team. Cold weather you made reference to, does anyone in the world want to get in front of Derrick Henry? You talk about business decisions? Hell no. I don't want to touch that. And both of those dudes said the same thing, concerns about the quarterback. So if you flip the page to the NFC and you talk about those three squads that you just made reference to, I think about Jalen, Dak, and Jimmy. And let's call a spade here. The Niners felt like they weren't at a place to win and get over the top because of Jimmy Garoppolo.
Correct.
Now, I think the roster looks a lot better than it was just because of the Christian McCaffrey factor that's in place. I start to pause a little bit. If you subscribe to the theory that MJD and M-Rob said on our shows, in the postseason, you'll need a quarterback to make a play or two plays. We got good Jimmy last night. Are you concerned then that the Niners can get over the top? Do you have more confidence in Jalen and Dak? I probably do, but I do like that roster for all the reasons that we pointed out for the Niners' perspective. So, big picture point, and I'm kind of rambling here, but I do think those are the three premier teams.
But that's a great point about Jimmy. I mean, you talked about how we saw the Niners in August. Yep. That's when Trey Lance was their quarterback.
Yeah.
They wanted to move off of Jimmy. They lucked into the fact that he's a total pro.
No doubt.
That he got healthy, and they decided not to trade him. They could have moved him to four or five other teams. He could be in Carolina suffering right now.
Yeah.
But they could be with Trey Lance or whoever their third quarterback is, if with Trey Lance getting hurt, and not be in the situation with all of those other players. But you have to have a quarterback make a play, and I'm with you.
Yeah.
If I've got to have all those quarterbacks, I would probably say Jalen Hurts is one I have the most confidence
in. I agree. I think he's first on that list of three, is he not?
Yeah, he doesn't turn the ball over or give you opportunities to get takeaways like the other two.
Now, granted, if the Cowboys commit to the run the way they have been doing recently and allow Dak...
I got no choice.
Allow Dak to be situational, allow Dak to be a little bit more game manager, the most expensive game manager in the history of the NFL, that certainly works. Guys, last thing on these three teams. Let's look at the next four games, their record through these next four games. 4-0, 3-1, 2-2, 1-3, or 0-4. Let's start with the Eagles. Home, Packers. Home, Titans, and then away for the Giants and Bears. That's Green Bay, Tennessee at home, then the New York Giants divisional game away, and then the Chicago Bears away. Mike Yam, what does Philly do in that four-game span?
3-1?
What's the one loss?
I don't know, but I'll go with there's one in there.
There's one in there.
Yeah, the divisional games are always tough to me, but I think
so. Maybe your Giants away. Maybe they take an L at MetLife. What's your thought on this?
I'll give them 2-2.
Okay.
And I'll see the Giants and Titans.
Titans.
Fine. You're fine with the split. Fine losing to those teams because you lose to them now. You don't lose to at least one of them on the playoff run.
Okay. Now, based on that, you're not losing a lot of ground. You may actually step out of that number one seed in the NFC if they go 2-2, as Steve Weich has just suggested. Let's look at the Cowboys. Giants, Colts, and Texans all at home, starting, of course, Thursday, Thanksgiving, against your Giants. So that's Giants, Colts, and Texans, three straight games at home, then an away fixture, as we say, in Jacksonville against the Jags. 4-0, 3-1, 2-2, 1-3, 0-4. Steve, you get the first shot at this.
3-1. 3-1 because you're the Cowboys.
And the loss is?
Thursday night. I'm picking the upset with the Giants. Nice.
I was just going to ask if we were going to.
A sly smile has just emerged on the face of Giants fan Mike Yam. Okay, so Steve White says 3-1.
I was thinking 3-1, and I was about to ask, are we doing picks for Thursday? Because if we are, then I'll save it. Because I was trying to figure out where I could be right. I'd pick a loss and a win on different shows. So at least some half of the audience would
look, guys, I don't see them losing to the Texans. No. I don't see them losing to the Jags. Now, Colts have been hard to predict, so that could be tricky.
It could be tricky.
But I don't see a loss there either. No. Maybe a loss to your Giants on Thursday night.
A little payback.
So you're 3-1 as well.
Yeah, I'll do 3-1. And remember, that was a Monday night game that the Giants were rolling in, where the Dallas Cowboys went to MetLife and won that game. So there's a little payback here on the flip side.
Let's finish with the San Francisco 49ers. Their next three games are also at home. Saints, Dolphins, Bucks, and then away, Seattle.
Yeah,
now,
this is
a much tougher schedule. Mike, you get the first shot at this one. 4-0, 3-1, 2-2, 1-3, or 0-4. What say you?
God, my gut's telling me 2-2.
2-2.
But just the way that this...
Saints, Dolphins, Bucks at home, then Seahawks away. Where are your losses? Where are the two losses?
Miami maybe. Just familiarity with the coaches there. Maybe I lean that way. I like Miami's roster. There's a part of me, Steve. I think you could even lean 2-2. Maybe the Bucks figure something out. I'm not buying the Saints though.
2-2 here.
3-1.
3-1.
And they're losing to Tampa.
They lose to Tampa.
Yep.
They beat the aforementioned Dolphins, who you credit with playing a physical brand of football too. But at home in Santa Clara, that's a win for them.
It's just something where you know they're going to be just dialed in, and we see this team when they're dialed in. Not to say they won't be dialed in against the Bucks, but something tells me the Bucks are going to start stringing up.
It's way too early for me to say what I've said, but I said it anyway. I believe that the Philadelphia Eagles, the Dallas Cowboys, and the San Francisco 49ers, based on their brand of football, based on their physicality, are without a doubt the class of the NFC, the standard bearers of the NFC. Hey, Tampa Bay, Minnesota, correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, you're surging Commanders there, huh, Drew? Taylor Heinicke not tickling your toes?
The fighting Taylor Heinicke.
I'm a proud fan, but I'm also a realistic observer.
What I observe is they look pretty darn good there, Drew.
I agree with you, but I will say this. If we are talking about standard bearers, if we are talking about the class of a conference, there are limitations to the Commanders that those three teams that we've just talked about simply
I'll agree with that.
It's fair.
It's always a team that gets hot, though. Yeah.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all, but here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs...
Yeah, like check out these hair. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you ever do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, like John Cena got it. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets.
Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
You are listening to NFL Total Access, the podcast. I am your host, NFL Network senior writer Andrew Levy, and today I am joined by Mike Yam and Steve Weich. And the next topic is Thanksgiving Day in the NFL, three games on the schedule. I want to know, gentlemen, how you think these games will go down. Now, we have kind of addressed a couple of them in an ancillary way based on our previous discussion, but let's drill down specifically. Bills and Lions. Last time out, we saw the Bills win 31-23 over the Browns in Detroit. Thank you, Snow, at Highmark Stadium. The Lions, of course, 31-18 winners. Cover your ears, Mike Yam, over the New York Giants. Thursday in Detroit. Who wins this game and how? Not looking for a score. What will we see, Steve Weich? Who wins this and how?
I like the Bills. It is not going to be a shellacking because Detroit can hang 30 on anyone.
Yes, they can.
That offense, the way they run the ball, the way they're great in the red zone. Jared Goff is playing well. And Amon-Ra St. Brown, could anybody please start acknowledging how good of a player this wide receiver is? But I do like Buffalo in a close game, but the Bills are going to have to go toe-to-toe. This is not going to be your typical Lions shellac.
That's as good an advertisement for this game as I have heard. Mike Yam, do you agree? If not, how do you see it go
down? No, I actually agree with Steve. That my initial thought was high-scoring affair, shootout in this one. I think that there's a little bit of swag here the Lions have with this winning streak, which, to be honest with you, I think they should be feeling themselves a little bit. Point differential has been in their favor over the last few weeks. They've done a nice job on that side. A much maligned defense that was highly criticized has now come up big. You know, there was a conversation I was doing at Twitter Spaces with Baldy, going back and forth on Defensive Rookie of the Year. It seemed like it was Sauce or Woolen. You know, I heard a stat today, which kind of made me do a double take. Hutchinson and Sauce, both with two picks on the season. Aiden's looking pretty good. Now, I still think the Bills win, but I think it's a high-scoring affair.
In the meeting, you and I sat at the end of the table, bad kids in the back of the class, Steve, and you said under your breath, kid is a beast.
I was at the Giants game this week. He is Max Crosby, effort-wise, right? He does not take a second of any down off against the run, against the pass, pursuit across the field, and discipline. This dude's energy is insane. Great athlete. You can tell he loves the sport. Aiden Hutchinson is going to be a Nick Bosa-like superstar in the NFL.
Both of you have the Bills winning this game?
Yep. Yes.
Both of you think it will be closer, I think, than a lot of fans believe. You opened the door for this question. Steve Weich, I wouldn't be surprised if...
I wouldn't be surprised if Aiden Hutchinson has more sacks than Von Miller.
Whoa.
How about that? Because, again, I think it's going to be a shootout. I think Buffalo is going to fall back to its passing tendencies, where Detroit's going to try to run it a little bit more. And Aiden Hutchinson is real. And that Lions offensive line, folks, that is a real offensive line with Penei Sewell. Yep. And those, that is a beastly offensive line.
Mike's Giants could not run against the Lions.
Nope.
Saquon Barkley, 15 carries, 22 yards, 1.5 yards a carry. Lions committed to stacking the box against the Saquon Barkley-led New York Giants because they didn't, forgive me, really believe that Daniel Jones could beat them on the backside.
Yeah, they didn't have
they can't
Stephon,
do
they
this.
Didn't have Stephon Diggs and Gabriel
they
Davis.
They can't do this
and
to
Isaiah
the Bills.
McKenzie.
So do you see the Bills have committed to the run recently, last two games, specifically in Week 11 with Devin Singletary really being the star of the show? Do you see them being able to run on this Lions team? Will we see Josh Allen with the ball in his hands?
Yes.
Like we saw Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
Probably the best runner against the Lions was Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I don't think they want him running, though, in this football game. We've been talking about that elbow injury for him. You know, the I wouldn't be surprised, at least on my side, is kind of twofold. I'd say one, that we're seeing, we'll talk about Singletary as hitting the century mark in this game. And Josh Allen, I wouldn't be surprised if we're talking about another game where he's got an interception or two picks in this game.
Ooh, okay.
Neither of them bit. I was hoping that one of them would say, I wouldn't be surprised if Detroit gets a fourth straight win. Both of these guys see the Bills winning it, but it's close. It could be high scoring. Use that information wisely, listener. Next game, Giants and Cowboys in Dallas. Last time out, of course, the Giants took that loss to the Lions by 13 points. Cowboys, of course, with a convincing dominating win on the road in Minneapolis over the Vikings, the then number two seed in the NFC, Minnesota Vikings, 40-3. Mike Yim, you get the first shot at this one. Who wins this game and how?
You know, I don't feel great about this game, although a few minutes ago we picked the Giants to win, and I feel better that Steve said it first. Here's the issue. You know, there's always these road trips, and we always hear that old adage, one game at a time. I think there's going to be moments over the next few weeks that the Giants are going to look back at what just happened and said, my Lord, we let a golden opportunity against a team that we are better than take us out, because this schedule over the next few weeks is absolutely brutal. You talk about, I think, six of their next seven teams above 500, a couple division games, I think four of them in the division. Like, this is tough sledding here, so it's a get-back, you know, right game against the Dallas team that's got to be feeling great about themselves. But the
missed opportunity that you're suggesting is against that Lions team?
Yeah.
That's a team that you are better than.
It's two missed opportunities. One against the Lions, and then what you had, what was it, week three, week four, whatever that Monday night game was, at home against this Dallas team. Because you were playing really well. I didn't think they were going to lose. There was no Dak in that game.
Correct.
So there's some issues here.
Answer the question. Who wins it?
Yeah, we're going to go G-Men. We'll go G-Men. There was a few weeks there. You know, I couldn't pick them, but now...
Okay, so let's go game script. Yeah. If you see your Giants getting a W here, and I don't think you're alone in that, Mike. I don't think you are driven merely by passion and fandom. I think there's real analysis in play here. This is potentially a trap game of sorts for the Cowboys at home. But if your Giants are to win, how will the game go?
So two things, and it'll be the exact opposite of what we saw over the weekend. Saquon Barkley does not get shut down. You need explosive plays from him. What concerns me is issues in this passing game that are well chronicled. Not having Robinson, the rookie, he's now down. I mean, they are so thin at wide receiver. There was a sarcastic one of these.
Yes, there was.
When Galladay, you know, I think he caught his first pass, right?
No, it wasn't sarcastic. Dude, the entire stadium, I was there,
right?
Stood up.
I mean, $70-plus million, he had two catches in this game. Like, at some point, you need to deliver. And I don't know if this is the game, but if you're telling me there's a game script here, Barkley's got to play big. And Daniel Jones is going to have someone on the outside in terms of these skill position players come up with a play.
In the absence of Wan'Dale Robinson, of course, and, of course, Adoree Jackson also out. Okay, Steve, is he being objective, or is he drinking too much Giants Kool-Aid? Who wins this one and how?
No, he's being objective. I mean, look, first off, I think the Giants, they'll never admit it. I think they were looking past the Lions a little bit towards this Dallas game. They were absolutely humiliated. When I say that, physically, when you had guys like Dexter Lawrence, who's just been a great nose tackle for the Giants, I mean, you didn't hear his name called all day. I mean, again, the Lions have a very good offensive line. You know, Leonard Williams, didn't hear his name called all day. They got physically dominated at points, but still the game turned on a couple of Daniel Jones interceptions. So one, he's got to play clean. Right, he had the Aiden Hudson pick, then he had the pick by the
which he's done for the most part.
Right, this
I
is
mean, not really
his first interceptions, I think, since week three. Right, so he's got to keep it clean. Guys have to hang on to the ball. But here's your script. I'm advancing. Here's how the Giants win. This, I think, is one of the only ways they win, besides they play good defensively. Matt Breida, the backup to Saquon Barkley. The Giants are going to take a page out of the Cowboys book. Remember the Cowboys, Zeke is our guy, but Tony Pollard's the hitter. Matt Breida, remember, he's one of the fastest guys in the NFL.
Yes, he is.
He can catch the ball. When Breida got a couple touches in each of the past couple games, he's made some explosive plays happen. So I think Matt Breida is going to be deployed a little bit in the Tony Pollard way to give the Cowboys something to think about, because Breida barely played the first time they met.
Yep.
Right, Saquon Barkley already has an ungodly amount of touches. So now let's play a little bait and switch. Put Breida in, put him in the backfield, maybe both at the same time, and mix it up a little bit.
Okay, so Daniel Jones playing clean, a little thunder and lightning a la the Dallas Cowboys from the Giants with Breida and Barkley, that gambit. That's what should happen, according to Steve Weich. That's what could happen. Is that what will happen?
Yeah, and I think the guys in Big Blue are going to get some takeaways. Yeah.
Love this.
Yep.
The last game of the three on Thanksgiving Day, Patriots and Vikings. In Minnesota, the scene of the crime. Vikings, of course, 40-3 losers at home to the Cowboys. They get to lick their wounds, remain at home. Steve Mariucci yesterday said it's the best thing for this Vikings team that they're on a short week.
Oh, yeah.
No time to sulk. Get back to work. Focus on a Bill Belichick team that, of course, held the New York Jets, hardly a vaunted offense, to only 3 points on the day. Patriots, 10-3 win at home over the Jets on that last gasp, Marcus Jones punt return for a touchdown. On paper, this wouldn't have seemed like a close game before last week. Now the paper has been ripped up and thrown out. What happens in this one? Who wins it, Steve Wyche, and how do they do it?
I'm going to go with the Vikings in a tough game. No. I wanted to go the Patriots here, but I think the Vikings have a couple guys on defense who can make some plays. I mean, I think there's going to be some situations where Mac Jones is going to have to make some plays, and that's where Patrick Peterson or someone like that steps up. Now, are the Vikings going to be able to get points up on the board? They're going to score, right? That three-point thing, that's an embarrassing effort for them. So you're going to see guys really step up. But, I mean, the Patriots are playing great defensively. But I like the Vikings. I think you're going to see Dalvin Cook, you know, step up and be that guy. He just was not able to get it going last week. He's such a difference maker. So I think this comes down to Dalvin Cook. Maybe not in the running game, but possibly as a pass catcher.
Lower scoring?
Yeah. I think this is going to be mid-20s, you know, 24-21 type game.
I don't even see how the Patriots put 21 points on the board, to be honest with you. This offense is so unconvincing.
But we can't look at that game against the Jets. The Jets' defense is really good.
Yes, they are.
And the Patriots, even in losses most of the season, are getting 20 points. Now, let's not give them all to the offense, right? Maybe Matt Judon gets a strip sack and
yes.
the defense scores.
Yes.
All right, maybe some of these young corners. God, the Patriots develop corners like certain donut companies make donuts. I mean, maybe they do something. But I think, you know, Ramondre Stevenson, you know, who is an underrated running back, might be able to get it going. I think the Patriots are going to put more than 10 on the board.
Steve Wyche sees this as a win, albeit a tough win,
yep.
for the Vikings. Different script.
Yep.
It's not about you, Justin Jefferson. It's about you, Dalvin Cook. So says Steve, what say you?
Well, Justin Jefferson was mitigated in a big way. I can't get over the lack of production that this offense had coming off of that win. We spent weeks on Total Access saying, They don't deserve, yeah, but, and then you get a win against Buffalo, and then you follow it up with a absolutely horrendous, embarrassing loss. I'll say this, the Patriots, one of the best defensive teams that we've seen since week five, giving up just 12 points, best total in the NFL. So I'm with you, Steve. I think it's a low-scoring game. You know, Cook wasn't able to get going because they were down, so they were kind of forced to be in that situation. If you're a Minnesota fan, you need to see some sort of response. I don't like this matchup for the reasons that we're pointing out from a New England perspective. I don't trust either one of these teams right now for various reasons, but I'll lean Minnesota and don't feel good about it, though.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
And finally, a look at the most recent edition of the Power Rankings. I'm going to read down the list. Please shout it out when you hear something or someone that you feel is out of place. Top to bottom. Number one, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Chiefs are one. Yeah, they absolutely deserve to be there.
Yes.
Number two, the Philadelphia Eagles.
Cosign. Yeah.
Number three, the Dallas Cowboys.
Boy, man. That's kind of hard for me to...
I could interpret those sounds and the facial expressions that are not being seen by our listeners. Please, translate.
It's just the Cowboys, every time you're expecting to do something, they step on the banana peel. And then every time you're expecting to step on the banana peel, they really gird up. Here's how I look at it. If you put the Tennessee Titans against the Dallas Cowboys head-to-head, I kind of like the Titans.
In one game or in six out of ten?
In one game.
Because I think I like the Cowboys.
No, you know what? Maybe six out of ten. So I would actually, Titans, man, we don't talk about them. I don't know if I necessarily would put the Cowboys ahead of the Titans, the Dolphins.
I was just going to say Miami.
Or the Bills right now.
Okay, very interesting. Do you agree?
Or the Niners.
Do you agree the Cowboys may be too high at three?
I think it's too high for all the reasons. I mean, yeah. You mentioned Tennessee. I don't know if I go there, but the first team I thought of was Miami. Then I thought about the Niners. Like, I don't know how Dan puts
these
the Bills together. The Bills are in that conversation, no doubt.
The Bills are in the conversation now because number four, Buffalo Bills. Yeah. Number five, San Francisco 49ers. We still haven't seen the Titans name pop up.
Yeah.
We will now. Number six, Tennessee Titans. Too low for you.
No, I mean, I get it because everyone's going to always question Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
I mean, that's when you look at the other teams, you probably don't have as many questions at quarterback. But you know what? What do the Tennessee Titans do? Derrick Henry.
It's what they do.
Makes up the difference.
When you've got the king, you give him the crown.
Kang. Yeah. K-A-N-G. Kang.
Number seven, the Miami Dolphins. Is that too low? See, it's hard, isn't it? Because when you hear the name Cowboys at three, it does feel a little overcorrective. It feels a little high.
Because, again...
But you hear the Dolphins at seven, and you're not really fighting for them to be any higher than
that. Well, here's my thing, though. That this is where you say, like, head-to-head. Like, even though the records may be skewed one way, head-to-head, do we see the Cowboys being the Dolphins? I don't. Head-to-head, I see Miami be... Now, I'm not saying Miami should be three. Maybe I'm making my case that the Cowboys are rated too high.
Yes. I think maybe all of these responses are somehow skewed by the fact that there sits Dallas at three.
Would you put, in a head-to-head, Dallas or Baltimore? I'd take the Ravens.
Yeah. I would take the Ravens.
The Ravens are eighth. The Ravens come one spot after
like
the Dolphins at eight. A great tease. Vikings fall to nine. The Bengals rise to 10. They have cracked
That's such a wild card team. I think they're there because they've had some losses they probably shouldn't have and some wins that have been really impressive. But strap it up, man. I mean, that's a team I think that's going to start rocking and rolling here.
Yeah, I think they're in that conversation. I don't know. I haven't even seen the list, so it was dumb luck that I mentioned the Ravens. I'm going to throw another team your way that is starting to shift in my mind based off of what I just saw.
Yes.
I'll throw the Chargers out there. And I'm not saying 10. Think about this.
No.
Here's what I'll throw your way. God, and no one... I'm like on an island.
Let the man make his case. Go ahead. So you have your day in court.
I was watching actually one of our good friends and colleagues, Bridget Condon, with you guys on NFL Now. And this was heading into the weekend, so I don't know what the math says. But Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, she goes, they've been together on the field for, and that was entering this past weekend, 7% of their offensive snaps. There is a world that exists where I say, okay, like I kind of get some of the issues that they're having. When you just think about it from that perspective, I thought they played okay. I thought they played pretty well. I'm not saying top 10. I'm just saying, hey, I don't
a
know.
A moment ago, you were suggesting top 10. You have now backed off of that. You're flirting with top 10.
Flirting with 10.
Let me give you, in our last 2 minutes of the show, I will give you 11 to 20.
Okay.
And you tell me the team in the 11 to 20 tier that you believe is most likely to crack the top 10 sooner or later. 11 to 20. Here we go. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Seattle Seahawks. The New England Patriots. At 14, it's the Jets. At 15, it's the Giants on a little bit of a slide. At 16, it's the Commanders on a march upwards. At 17, Mikey M's Chargers, we will now call them. At 18, the Lions. At 19, the Packers. At 20, your Falcons, Steve Weich. Who among those teams, Bucks, Hawks, Pats, Jets, Giants, Commanders, Chargers, Lions, Packers, and Falcons is most likely to end up in the top 10?
I'm going to say Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay. So there they are on the doorstep at 11.
The Chargers are surfing on a surfboard filled with torpedo holes because they can't stay healthy, and they're just impossible.
Mike Williams only lasted 5 minutes. It was heartbreaking.
Yeah, I mean, him and Keenan Allen are probably never going to play together this season. Just the tough injury luck.
So for you, it's the Bucks. Yeah. To be fair, it's an easy one because there they are at 11. So they are on the doorstep, knocking on the door, and you're going to let them in at some point.
Well, someone else is going to let them
in. At whose expense? Who falls out?
At whose expense? Who drops down?
Do the Vikings continue their slide?
The Vikings could fall down, and I think the Cowboys could slide.
Ooh.
They're ranked too high.
But you see them going from 3 out of the top 10? That's precipitous.
They're ranked too high. I mean, I just wouldn't have them at 3.
The subtext for the Dallas Cowboys this week, sorry, Cowboys Nation, you're ranked too high. Another team in that list other than the Chargers that you think is likely to break the top 10?
Well, Bucks makes a whole lot of sense. I'm going to stick with the Chargers. I'm looking at their schedule here. I think they get two road wins next 2 weeks.
Who do they have?
Cardinals and Raiders.
Obviously, you're wrong. The answer is Patriots.
They better. Yeah, Patriots. Yeah. I was thinking about the Pats as well.
No.
Let's go ahead and put the whole division in.
I want to thank today's special guests, Steve Weich and Mike Yam. Tomorrow, a closer look at the Total Access game of the week. That's the Eagles and the Packers in Philly. Is this an elimination game for the Green Bay Packers? Is this a trap game for the Philadelphia Eagles? Tomorrow. Till then, ciao for now. NFL Total Access is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.